The long, strange case against two Tyco executives came to an abrupt end yesterday when the judge declared a mistrial. Dennis Kozlowski and Mark Swartz are charged with stealing $600 million from Tyco in unauthorized bonuses, perks, and improper stock sales. The judge said outside pressure on one juror gave him no choice but to end the six-month trial. NPR's Nancy Solomon reports.
Maybe a trial that focused on a $6,000 shower curtain and a $2 million toga party was bound to end this way. An elderly juror made a gesture, and it has never been clear whether it really was an okay sign or not. But the press coverage put so much pressure on the juror that the judge felt compelled to stop the trial. Anonymous sources told the Associated Press the juror received a letter and a threatening crank call since she was identified in news reports last weekend. Stephen Duke, professor of law at Yale University, says the mistrial was warranted.
Any threat to a sitting juror requires a mistrial in almost every case.
Duke says defendants usually gain an advantage in retrial because their lawyers know the worst the prosecution can throw at them. But in this case, the jury sent out so many questions that prosecutors should be able to figure out what worked and what didn't. Juror Peter McIntaggart told CNN yesterday the jury was minutes away from convicting Dennis Kozlowski and Mark Swartz on at least two grand larceny counts, conspiracy, and securities fraud.
Judge came in. I did have one question. I said, if we had given you a verdict the end of yesterday, would it have stood? And would you have accepted it? And he said yes. So it's just very frustrating on so many levels.
McIntaggart said the prosecution's case was overly complicated, not a surprising criticism since it took 4 months to present. Kozlowski's attorney did not call any witnesses, and Swartz testified in his defense for 9 days. His attorney, Charles Stillman, has argued that prosecutors threw a huge amount of detail at the jurors, hoping something would stick. Yesterday, he was at a loss for words to explain the mistrial.
I've been doing this 40 years. I will tell you, if I piled up all the experiences top to bottom, I ain't seen nothing like this yet. But, you know, what can I say?
The trial seemed to go awry last week, starting with frantic notes from the jurors. Then came the notorious gesture and the identification of juror number 4 in the press. Constitutional lawyer Floyd Abram says if, and it's a big if, the juror signaled okay to the defense, then it was appropriate for the press to name her. And if it was less clear, as many who were in the courtroom believe, then it was a mistake.
The important thing is not to change the system, because one trial goes off the tracks for reasons which appear never to have happened before and may well never happen again.
Unless juror number 4 comes forward and explains whether she gestured okay, it may never be known whether it's the fault of the media. And even though the jury was so close to a guilty verdict on some counts, the case might have been subject to appeal. Now it's left to the district attorney to re-prosecute. The first hearings begin May 7th. Nancy Solomon, NPR News, New York.